There is no one else. Father, we humbly bow in your divine presence this morning. We are grateful this morning that you could give to us a day of thanksgiving and celebrations. We could come together, Lord, to honor the resurrection morning. We thank you, O God, that you could give us a ministry through a vindicated prophet, Father. That you could come, that you could allow your bride to come and learn. Father, that she could grow, that she could mature. Her thinking can change, her beliefs, her attitude, a code of conduct. Lord, the doctrines all will change so that you, Lord, can be glorified. We pray for the many that are unwell in the bodies. We also pray for Brother Norman. Be gracious to bless him. Those, Lord, that are have names on the paper, pray for baby Liam. Also, we remember Brother Irwin and all of the anniversary. Bless them as well. Lord, even it's Sister Jerusha's birthday, and also Sister Karusha as well. We pray you bless them. Undertake for each one of us. Lord, in those that are celebrating, Lord, whatever aspect of their life, we come to celebrate you, Father, to honor you, Lord, and to worship you. We thank you for the believers in supporting the work with the tithes and offerings, the presence, and also, Lord, that you could inspire us through your word. Thank you for the government of the church. Do bless us even as we continue now. We ask this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Whilst you are standing, we take our scripture reading from the book of Proverbs, chapter 16 and verse 4. Chapter 16 and verse 4. You must carry your Bibles to church in case I don't put the slides up. I see most of you looking at the slides. The Lord had made all things for himself, even the wicked, for the days of evil. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious words. You may take your seat this morning. I was just telling my wife, I mean, sometimes you wonder why I come late. And I think one day I was sitting and studying, and William says, oh, sir, you actually kept so early. I was wondering why you're late to church. So it's because every minister runs through that problem. You know, they try to improve. And the worst part is to improve your service. And that's what I did. And the whole computer, Brother Norman's not here, and Brother Irwin's not here. I see Brother Wakers at the back. I just thought, I said, let me manage with whatever I have this morning. And because everything just changed. Sometimes, you know, you prepare and yeah. So just a few things. Thank you for praying for us. Remember Benjamin's wedding this week. I was telling him yesterday, he said, by this hour, I'm not too sure, but by this hour you'll be married, you know, and by this hour, Shanice would be married as well. So next week is the wedding. Thank you for praying for us. I know many of you want to come home and help, and there's no need to, because everything is under control. We're not having anything on Friday. Actually, we won't be at home most of the time on Friday. So, but thank you so much for, but we'll see you at the wedding. Okay. I know the board members are invited to the church. And I've left Brother Logan in charge, the board, to handle whatever they can at the hall. So if you want to do anything, please speak to the board about that, you know, so that they can see wherever you can. But most of the brothers, as I said, we're depending upon you to help us there at the church, at the hall. All right. today is a birthday service as well, and a Thanksgiving. But I'm moving away to another very important subject. So I'm going to lay the foundation. I asked Brother Norman to come behind me and finish up the dimensions and so forth, because there's too much of work to be done. I'm sorry, Brother Isaac, I missed your testimony. I'll catch it up on the streaming. Amen. This whole computer went haywire. And it's not a subject that you can follow so easily. So, very controversial, some things will be. Okay. And so, but you go ahead and you read Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. It's quite an important book. This part of it, Brother Larry, and then we're not going to open it up. I will tell you which parts I'll open up to the public. The reason why I don't do that is because they would listen to me and they would want to challenge. Now, this is my point, is that you can't question us if you haven't studied it. You know, it's foolish. You can't. It's like going to a doctor and trying to question the findings of a doctor when you didn't even go to medical college. You know? And so some things I don't open up to the public, but we're busy working on that, because once you release it, you're going to find that people are going to question you, like the threefold purpose, and you know, and I want you to understand this will carry us through till next year as well. You need to become diligent, because you don't come here to get saved. You come here so that you can become enlightened. All right? And you've got to follow us. I know it's November, because if you go back to most of my series, I introduce it for the old year and carry it through the new year, God willing, and we want to do that. All right. So the subject this morning is on God's desire. And many times we don't think that God has desires. You know, we think, well, you know, we are the one that has got needs. We are the one that has situations. We are the one that's got problems and whatever it is. But you see, that was under the old gospel. That was under the gospel of the closed book. And most of the time, you know, we don't realize why we are here. And if I had to ask you why you are here, most of you haven't even thought about it. It's because we are so programmed by the way the world trains us and teaches us. I know there's a lot of young people, and I was sitting and thinking the other night as well, I was with a meeting with somebody this week, and he was talking to us about something. He's about 50, 60 something, 64, 65, and he was talking about his business. He made a lot of money, and I think he wanted about 60 million for his business. And the question was asked by this gentleman, "So why do you want to quit, why do you have to quit?" And then he said the answer, which I've always believed. You know, he says, "Look, I've got three houses. I got houses in Cape Town, Zimbali. My business is over 60 million. I'm 60 something of age. Why must I kill myself?" You know, but that's something I teach my children. I've always believed. And one of the statements I said to you many years ago, you got to know when it is enough. It's a simple statement. When enough is enough. You know, lots of times people don't understand this. They think, well, this man, he doesn't know. You know, I want to drive a Bugatti, Lamborghini, and Bentley, and this. It's good to have hopes, good to have desires. And but you've got to ask yourself, when is enough enough? And maybe you won't understand it. Many of you won't understand it. Because if I speak to Caleb now, you'll say, "Look, Pastor Lua, I want to be Elon Musk, Yeah, okay. You want to be Elon Musk. I want to be like another Bill Gates kind of a thing." It's because you've got to look at why. God made you? Why did he bring you here? Is it about money? Everybody says, what, we need money. Yes. And you can write this down. Money is important only in the areas where money is needed. Money is important only in the areas where money is needed. Money is not the end to this. And that's when this man was talking about, you know, he said to this person sitting next to me, he says, son, you know, you're young, and but you've got to come to a stage, and that's where you as believers must ask yourself, you know, when is enough enough? And I think I taught you this principle long time ago. He said, now is a very good time to do it, because now is November, okay? It's November, and you sit down and you work out your next year's plan, financial plan, okay? What your cost is going to be. You can add 10%, 15% escalation cost. Work out, well, to run my whole life is 20,000, 5,000, 10,000, whatever the figure is. Then you work out what, how much of money you earn, or if you're a businessman, how much of money you need to make for the year. And if you want to do a 2 year or 3 year, or even you can do a 5 year plan that way, you know, you say, but why would you do that? It's a very simple reason. So you won't be stressed. You won't be stressed. You can take this, what I'm, a simple philosophy, and you could run it for 5 years. You can say, look, for the first year, I need 10,000. The second year, I need 20,000. The third year, I need 30,000. The fourth year, 50. You can even take it up to 65. It's a very simple thing. You can speak to our maths genius at the back. I mean, by the way, he can do your spreadsheet, and he can program your life from 21 to 65. And you can go to ask him, but I need to tell him he needs to charge you for that. You know, you put down all your expenses, all your for from now, and you can program it, and then you can have your life. You say, but why do you say that, Brother Louis? Because then you know when enough is enough. You're working with something in mind. You know what's going on. You're going to say, but Brother Louis, I thought this is a service. It's part of the service. Okay? Because lots of times, you can't have both things. Money is important in the areas where money is needed. And you cannot in any way say, well, you know, I've got to work 7 days a week. Look at the people that's not in church. And you ask them, why you're not in church? I have to work. You know? And then you go home and you have a problem with your wife, and you tell your wife, you know, I'm doing this for you. I'm working 7 days a week. For you, your child said, but dad, I don't see you. I'm doing this for you. Really? No, you're not a good steward. You say, what do you mean? You kill your life. You kill your marriage. You kill your car. You finish your car. Wear and tear is high. Your children don't even know you. You don't even know God. Your health, your sugar, your pressure, your stress, your cholesterol, gone through the roof. Because you don't have time for meditation and sleep and rest. You don't have that time because you're just walking wildly with nothing inside. I have the privilege in my life, the things that I do, to meet people who have a lot. But I always say to them, you don't have a balanced life. You haven't been outside your door. You don't even know that Johannesburg don't even have a sea. Some of you think Johannesburg got a sea. Because you don't have, like, even if you're working, if you're whether you're a wife, you have to work because you got to pay your bills. Husbands, you've got to come to a point. You say, but why? Because if you believe the rapture is going to take place, this is not your hope. You are actually planning your exit. You know, I'm not planning to stay. You know, you're planning your exit. And lots of times we don't understand that. And so we just walk aimlessly. We skip church. We neglect our focus. And you will learn as we're going on with this series that everything, the education that you have. I was telling one of the brothers this week, I said, did you know that the educational system was altered by a man? One of them was J.P. Morgan. You can go and research it. You see, what you learn in school teaches you to become a slave. That's what they did. The blue blood, the Rothschild people and all, they did that so that the human race become a slave. But we are here to tell you, be careful. So they pulled away things, what I'm talking to you about, they pulled those things away so that you can get into a routine and destroy yourself. There's a lot of things that happened in the early days where what they did was they pulled away these kind of knowledge so that you get caught in a rut where you start working and you're working and you're working. And then they came up with food, the wrong kind of food. The Brother Norman's not here, but some of you say mineral. We never heard that word for a long time, you know, and he was laughing at this because both of us says, we never heard that for a long time. You know, people say, you want mineral? You know, because now it's cool drinks, you know. And so what they have done was they introduced food. You see, I know it's streaming, that there's a class of people that do not eat what you eat and do not drink what you drink. And do not have the water that you have. And do not have the entertainment that you have. That's true. See, the entertainment that you have, those of you who are sitting and watching Netflix and Showmax and Mnet and DSTV, okay? It's there to cause you to lose your memory. It's there to make you a retard. It's not there to make you educated. There are some very educational stuffs. It's there to slow you down. I challenge you. Watch a movie for 2-3 hours and see how involved it becomes. And tell me what you learned. Nothing. But you have a different perception of cars, houses, lifestyle. It's a false thing that they've given to you, that you're working towards. But take a book. Like I try to read 4 books a month. Okay? And anything. And see how you feel after that. Take a message book. Take a service. And see how you feel after that. You see why? Because they're programming the subconscious mind, the human mind, to become slaves. Slaves to this world. That is why the educational system, the social system, everything is controlled. You say, I don't understand you. What do you know about anything is what the journalist gives you. Do you know that? Do you know that? You say, no, I go to Google. Ask these brothers at the back. Google is also being instructed. Facebook, instructed. Instagram, instructed. Did you know the TikTok that you have in South Africa, which comes from China, is not the TikTok they have in China? Did you all know that? You said, why? In China, the TikTok is there on education. It's educational. Their TikTok is educational. Your TikTok? What's your TikTok? I'm trying to show you something that you're going to be guarded on what you take in. You see, but I don't understand it. Why would you say that? You see, well, it's because every day is a new beginning for you. You know, every morning you wake up, it's a new morning. Tomorrow is a new day. In a couple of weeks' time, it'll be a new year. Okay? Like today, you came in, you're born this morning, you woke up, you're full of strength, you got full of life. And then come about 1, 2 o'clock, for those of you at a certain age, you begin to get weaker and tired, and then you want to go and rest and so forth. Because it's a cycle. It's a cycle. And that's what they have done. They have put you into a cycle. The educational system has put you into a cycle. The movies you watch has put you into a cycle. You go in, you come back, you go in, you come back. Some of you don't even know why you go to work. You know, another thing that you should learn is lots of time people cry when somebody dies. It's, hey, somebody died. No. You know which is the greatest fear? It's not when somebody dies, but when something inside of you dies. That's the greatest death. It's not when some your family died, your wife died, or your mother died, but something inside of you dies. When that thing dies, that's the most dangerous thing. Because you must understand that God, He had a desire. God had a desire. And most of the time, you are praying, Father, I want to be in heaven. His will was to be among you. But you want to be up there. You know? And you have this thing about yourself, and you always think, you know what, things are just not working out. See, life is a cycle. Some days you'd have good days. Some days you have bad days. And every human being goes through a cycle of 7 years. Every 7 years, your body undergoes a change. Every 7 years, your alignment changes. Your alignment. Your financial alignment changes. Your health alignment changes. Your mental alignment changes. And you'd find that maybe you went through a phase. There could be somebody here today who's been through a phase. You see, every one of us are born in a story. Come from a background that's poor, this and that. You know, like yesterday, we were at home, and Coleman and Linda was there. They were all so excited that the rugby team was passing my driveway, and everybody was just taking photographs. You couldn't get out of my driveway, you know. And I was just thinking, I said, wow, look at the people. So much of people. I sent it to the board as well, those videos. And I said, but you know, it's amazing when it comes to serving God, you won't even see the people. They came in all shapes and sizes. They came all dressed up and dressed down. You know, I'm looking, I said, Lord, you know. Yeah, they are also excited. I mean, it's a good feeling. South Africa won the Rugby World Cup for 4 years, and they're all standing, passing by. Everybody's excited, but very few of them are mindful that the sun is sending out flares, storms are building up, the planets are aligning. October is one of the harshest periods now that we find all these things are lining up. We've had eclipses just passing us. And I was looking, I said, Lord, it's amazing. You see, you can have comfort in that sports. I mean, nothing against sports. So please, if you're playing sport, it's fine. It's good for your health. But it should not become your idolatry, where it replaces God, you know, where you skip church so that you can watch the games or whatever it is, you know. Sometimes you're working or you have to be somewhere. We don't observe days and times, but as long as you get back to what was given to you, you listen to it and you meditate on it, that's more important. So sometimes you're going to have your seasons. Okay, you're going to have your seasons. You're going to have your moments in life. Sometimes it's going to be cloudy days. It's going to be dull days. But every one of us are going to go through a season. Today, your problem looks very big. I remember my problems that I had was so big. I used to pray for the rapture to take place. When I was writing my matric, never took place. I was going from my driving school, praying for that, never happened. You know? So sometimes the problem at that time looks so serious, it looks so big. But sometimes you have to go through your problem. You have to go through it. You see, but why, Brother Louis? It's because so that you can become a better person. Your weathers that you're going through, all those inclement weather, sometimes things are out of the ordinary happens. Even when you're full of strength in you, you know, your life is so, going so well, and you just can't enjoy it. But I want to tell you, God is in control. You may not understand it. I've seen God in control. I've seen God in my personal life in control. I think I was sharing this, and I was in Mauritius preaching, and at Pastor Ashok, and that's the time I lost my iPad on the plane. It was a gift. And I just put my bags down at home. I just left it there to greet sister. She only said to me, I can't breathe. And that's when I had to rush her to hospital. I was thinking, but she was having cardiac arrest the whole week. Nobody knew. But he waited. He waited for me to arrive so I can take her to the doctors. So sometimes you might think that, hey, God's not watching me. He knows how much you can bear. He knows if it's your end, it's your end. If it's your end, it's your end. You know, you can die behind the pulpit. You can die driving a car. And if it's not your season, like Brother Vala, they can take the gun and point at you. You wouldn't be sitting next to Sister Rani. I didn't forget that. He forgot. Gun went off, bullets in the chamber. Guy looks at the gun, he got shot. Not him, but the guy who had the gun. Terence hijacked one day, left him in the field, sugarcane field. And he was just thinking when the bullet's going to go off. Why? Because William had to come, Ethan had to come. You had to see your grandson, Brother Vela. All those things. Sometimes you get so worked up when the weather is bad around you. I'm talking your life. You think, hey, Lord, you know what? Where are you? Just stand still. Just stand still. As long as you know that you're trusting Him, trust Him that things will work out for you. We put a note here, and sometimes a volcano come up and those ashes and vapor and everything, and you never know what happened. And even though in those conditions, remember your life, like the sun is still there. Even though it can't shine through in the way you would like it, but it doesn't ever remain the same. It comes out of it. You'll see the sun all darkened out, but it doesn't stay there. There could be somebody here today that could be going through that. That loneliness, that vacuum that you feel. And you wish that your life could turn around almost immediately. You'll wish that it could disappear. You know? You see, don't look back with regrets. Look forward. Because God has a way of bringing you things that you missed. He will allow you to make it up in some way. Even when the sun is shining, you have trouble on earth. That's what's important for you to understand. Every one of us, we're going to go through those moments. And sometimes, you know, I'll listen to people, then they'll tell me, you know, I missed this, I missed that, I did so much, the sacrifices I made, you know, look at this I've done and so forth. They become bitter. But you see, you've got to strive in this life for your spouse, for each other, for your children, for the believers. You see, you're not here to get saved. You are here to get to understand your role. That's very important. That's why we don't focus so much on things that you're doing. Even if I know, I don't talk about it. I just pray that you'll come to know your role, what you're doing, and so forth. You know, you love your husband, love your wife, love the deacons, the believers in the church, you know. And sometimes you will look up and say, Lord, if only I could have my millennium. I'm having so much of trouble. Why my child is giving me all these hardships and problems and so forth. You see, because have you noticed that if you want to shine something, if you want to shine down a car, polish, it's never a smooth surface. It's always abrasive. It's always rough. You know, those of you that work with wood and work with metal, they start off with 100 and they come down to 1,000. From a rough finish, it comes down to fine finish. And sometimes you could be sitting and say, Brother Louis, you just don't understand my wife. Even in a sleep, she talks to me. Yeah, I know. No, my wife don't talk in a sleep. No, so don't. When I said I know, I mean I understand what you feel. Oh, she's looking at me through that glasses. I have to be careful sometimes because she's got her children, she's got her sisters here as well. So I'm very careful. Yeah, no, but you see, sometimes you go through this and you get anxious. You know, like Sister Jane will phone me sometimes and tell me, Pastor, please pray. And she says, I'm by God's grace. Brother Louis, it's God's grace. You know, prayer and God's grace. That's all you'll hear Sister Jane talk about. And she looks well, much more younger than Brother Larry. You know, I was telling Larry, I said, she looks very young. You know, but you see what I'm trying to tell you. Unconsciously, she's learned to master situations. But she didn't know that. She learned to master it. And she's found a way. You see, I think I preached this some time ago on the hiding place. You got to find your hiding place. And our hiding place in our life was placed in a man, in a ministry, a vindicated ministry. That becomes your hiding place, that when you listen to these doctrines, you see, you need to strive. You need to strive to become the better you. Always strive to be. I tell this to my children. I tell this to lots of people. Surprise yourself and set a much more higher standard for yourself. You say, but brother, I'm doing so much. And I'm getting, no, you don't do this to get anything back. You do this to become a better version of yourself. Your husband can be the worst husband. You cook him the best meal. You will not cook him a meal and say, oh, you choke on the bone and you eat the food. No, that's not a better version of you. Just learn to start loving your spouse, irrespective. You say, but why? You're doing it unto the Lord. That's what it's all about. You're doing this unto the Lord. You're not doing it for anybody else. You're serving your husband and you're preparing those meals for him. You're saying, Lord, I'm doing this unto you. You see, when you give in your tithes and your offerings to the church, you're giving it unto Jehovah. It's not about anybody else. And that's what you need to understand. This book, Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed, I want you to read it. It's a very thick book. It's very, very layered. It's very layered. And it can be one of the most misunderstood books if you're not careful. We did it in our church meetings, you know. Listen to the tapes. We studied together. But now we're going to look at it through the seventh seal, the open book. Because when you start learning about yourself, you know, one of the greatest things is to learn more about yourself. You say, but Brother Louis, how do I learn? Learn your temperament. Do you know your temperament? Everybody knows your temperament? Maybe I'll stick up a chart in one of the groups for you. Learn how to handle the opposite temperament. Okay? Learn how to deal with them. You know, because you will be in a position, because a lot of times we want to change our people. You know, we want to change our husband, change our wife, change our children. You say, but Brother Louis, I thought that's not your job. I told you, if I had a choice, I would have had to ask God, give me a lot of hair, a bit tall, you know, good build like Alec. Alec is 50 plus. He looks like he's 21. I don't know what he's eating, you know. Come out a bit lighter. But I never had a choice. I came out the way I am. So I've got to understand myself. Learn more about yourself. You say, but why? When you study this book, as we're going to study this book, you're going to understand it. That your husband, your wife, your children, everyone that comes into your life is an opportunity for you to start reflecting God. And you're going to... Now, I won't say that now, because you might misunderstand me, but just to say, the only God that people are going to get to know very soon is you. Don't let that stumble you. You say, but why? Because you're going to become his reflection. You are going to become his reflection. You see, lots of times we expect our household to be smooth and we are so embarrassed if our children fail. I told you, I've got three children. If they fail, I pray that you'll be there for them. You'll help them through the journey the way I help you. Don't kick them down. Don't push them down. Because don't say, but that's pastor's children. They're human. Be there for them. Be there for those people that are down. You say, but I want my house. We are message people. That's what the first generation did. We message people. We can't have the who said so. You see, we want our households to run without trouble. Who's the problem then? You. You see, but why? It's because you got unrealistic expectations. I told you I never liked school, eh? I mean, who stayed with 56 days in class one? 56 days. I looked at the reporters. Oh my goodness, I even passed. But the point is, it was just that. Everybody expected me to. They told my father, is that going to go past five, standard five? But they did not know whatever is in me will come out. My point is, not to speak so much about my life, but is to tell you is that lots of times you expect your household to run perfect. You put on a show. Be normal. This church is not here to create unrealistic expectations. People in our church will fail you. They'll hurt you. They'll embarrass you. Don't get upset. No, there are some things that you draw the line. I mean, you know, I drew the line recently. Some things. But overlook it. They're human. You say, but why? They're given to you to try you. That's what it's all about. You say, but I don't understand you. Okay, Brother Larry, as an example, tells me something, embarrasses me, or, you know, this, that, it, and then I can lash out. Oh, okay, Brother Larry, I understand, I appreciate. But you, so you can look at it both ways. Why should Brother Larry speak that way? Okay. You shouldn't talk that way. Oh, you can look at it the other way. Wow. Look at how Brother Louis handled himself. He was quiet. There's two ways to look at it. So when somebody's trying you, saying things about you, talking about you at home and what, remember, you're doing this unto the Lord. Did anybody find anywhere in the Bible that God ran the devil down? Any scripture where God spoke about the devil? So why do we blame people and blame the devil if God is not doing that? Because everyone, even if your child is doing something wrong and you know, mothers go to your children and say, don't do that. I told you not to do that. Allow the child to do it as long as he doesn't kill her. If he does not kill her, let her learn. You say, but why? Because that's why I allow you to learn in church. Not, I told the deacon, don't put pressure on the people. Allow them to grow. You know, if they create a public thing, then you talk to them. But allow them to grow. And there are people that don't come to church. Ask Brother Logan. I said, Brother Logan, leave them. Don't phone them. Don't ask them why. You say, but Brother Lou, how can you do that? You are going to learn if God puts the desire, God puts the desire. You're going to learn. And these series are going to shock you. You're going to learn that you can't be elect if you are never elect. And you're going to learn that He controls everything. You see, but I don't understand. I took an example last week about Pochepsin, and I said, I tell my children, oh, I forgot, I should have used this. They said, no, Dad, you can still use it again. Those of you who got it, you got GPS in your car, you got it on your phone, and you program yourself, okay? You put it on your phone, okay? And you're hitting down to Pochepsin now. And then you depart from the journey, and you're going to Maritzburg side. What do you think he does? When possible, make a U-turn. Don't you hear that? When possible, make a U-turn. I'll tell you, close your mouth. I know. Okay? But what am I trying to tell you? If you are elected and you leave the road, you leave the journey, He's going to ask you to make a U-turn, whether you like it or not. So don't stress over people that are not here. Your wife, your brother, your children. Don't stress. Don't stress when things are not working out. You say, but Brother Louis, I thought this was about God's desire. Yes, this is about God's desire. You'll see it coming up just now. You've got to start looking at things from a different perspective. From a completely different perspective. Because once you start doing that, brothers and sisters, then you're going to realize. You see now that, you know, we were, I'm going ahead of myself with some of the things, but just understand. Did you know Isolation ages you. Did you know isolation ages? If you are the one that do not have a lot of friends, yeah, I never saw that sign, private. Okay, yeah, it is private. You can't just walk in there. There's a study that has been proven that people can live up to 100 years. In certain parts of the world, there are people that are living at 104, 108, 99. You see, but how is it possible? You see, most of us love to live by ourselves and for ourselves. And it's all about I am. Me, myself, and I. There's only three people that's important in your life. Say, which three? Me, myself, and I. You will notice, and I do not want to sound offensive, but this is part of the teaching. Is that every choice you make, you as a person, every decision you make, the food you cook, the places you go, what is the point of check? You. I don't like that color. So when you look at somebody, okay, I don't like Brother Vala's shoes. Why? Because I don't like Brother Vala's shoes. So when you measure people, when you judge people, when you criticize people, when you comment on people, unconsciously, you are basing it on how you see the person. Do I make sense? Now you must ask yourself whether or not it is correct. Because why do husbands and wives fight, argue? Anybody knows? It's because you want your agenda on the table. You want your idea on the table. You want to be heard. That's why husbands raise their voices, wives raise their voices. Sometimes they get violent. I told you this before, if a man is violent with his wife, it shows he's weak. And if a woman is violent with her husband, it shows that she's weak also. Don't ever tell me, but you don't understand what I'm going through. You have the deacons that you can talk to, all right? All right. Now, as we're building our subject up, this note is giving me a problem. You can't be unless you are existing. So you have verbs that says, I can, I would, I should, I might. All these words that you are using, it's about you. So unconsciously, most of us have been self-existing. You've been self-existing. Have you noticed that husbands and wives will have an argument about where the board should be? Okay, there are some things that have to be realistic. I mean, I wouldn't expect the deacons to take my pulpit and put it there and say, look, pastor, you know, you're self-existing. No, that's complete. Don't mix up things. But the point I'm trying to get at, in a family situation, in the church situation, we always look at it from the point of me. How I see it, how it affects me. You'll understand things only from your perspective. You go to a function, you're invited for a meal just now. You never thank the host for the meals. Hey, the potato was hard, eh? Now, I know he's a good cook. I know him. I'm just using an example. I always say when you go to a function, chup, you've been invited. Chup. Or just carry your own chair and bring your own food. That's a strange thing. Somebody showed me this the other day. They said, if you don't RSVP, please bring your own chair and your own sandwich. Was funny, eh? Yeah. Because it's all about you. Everything is about you. The way you see the sinner. Have you noticed when Jesus came, Son of Man was there, the disciples said, Master, Master, this woman is sinning. She needs to be killed. She needs this. And all he did, he did without. You see, they looked at her through what? Their eyes. But God looked at them the way they were. That they were self-existing. You know, sometimes we are never honest about we are existing for ourselves. We're never honest. We think that, you know, Brother Louis, you know, I'm making a lot of sacrifices. Really? You're not making sacrifices. Because everything you have, this computer is misbehaving. Okay. Everything that you are here, this book is going to open up the way you're supposed to be. Why? Why did God from the eighth want to come down to be amongst man when man wants to leave earth and go to the top? What's the reason behind it? And that's what we want to explore today. And in doing that, you're going to have an introspection on your life. You see, I want you to put this service into your life. Please don't focus on somebody else. Because you're not going to benefit in this series if you're going to say, oh, yeah, no, brother, so-and-so needs it, not me. That means you're still self-existing and you don't even know. You don't even realize it that you're self-existing, you know? All right, let's move on. You see, you can live a good Christian life, a moral life. You've never defiled your marriage. You live a religious life. You love the Lord. You come to church. You sit in church. You do all the things that you want according to the word of God. But you never came to the knowledge of self. Nobody told you, hey, you're self-existing. Nobody told you that you are looking at things through your eyes and not the eyes of the word. Nobody told you that because in your eyes, you live a clean life. You're morally okay. You're serving the Lord. So what's the problem, brother? It's because you don't want to see the people through the eyes of the gospel. So people can come to church. You are forever learning. The Bible says you're forever learning, but not coming up to the knowledge of it. You see, you've got to learn about you. Learn the dangers of self. If you sit down and you ask yourself, Brother Louis, what do you mean? How many times you got upset because it affected self? How many times? You know, you go somewhere and, you're coming up here for now. Sorry, as I said, my computer was misbehaving and it's, but we'll go home and have a good talk. Okay. How many times you got upset with somebody just because they were a couple of minutes late? And you really wanted to take their head out. It's because it affected your time. But how many times you were late? Because you were caught in the traffic or delayed. I know some people can be unrealistic. I know I was doing a wedding in one country. They said, oh, please, you need to do the wedding. I said, okay. And I'm used to certain form of weddings, you know. So I asked the pastor, what time is the wedding? He says 10 o'clock. I said, okay. He said, Brother Lou, will you preach something on the wedding? Because I wasn't to do the vows because I don't know them. You know, I said, I'll do something on marriage, but I won't marry them because I don't know them. 10 o'clock, we went there dressed up. 11 o'clock, the bridegroom didn't come. Bride didn't come. 12 o'clock, the bride comes. So we're standing there, and the pastor says, hey, where's the bridegroom? So somebody said, oh, pastor, he's in the shopping mall looking for shoes. Hey, I'll never forget that day. Pastor stands here. Bridegroom says, is this the time to come? You wait us, make us wait so long. I said, wow. So some people can be unrealistic in terms of time. So sometimes when you are late, it also shows signs of disrespect. If you are late, I was late today because my computer is giving problems. Ask my deacons, ask Brother Logan. I sent an apology. I said, I'm running late. Me, minister, I'm running late. Not because I was late, because this guy was misbehaving. Said, I'm running late. Okay, please understand. Because you got to learn respect. It's about self. You know, like I always say, when you go to somebody's house, just don't shack up. My own daughter, I don't do that. Although I can walk in to go and see those two boys, we don't do that. See, but why? Because you've got to respect people. Just courtesy call. Hi, you would like to pop in? Is it okay? That kind of a thing, you know? Because self, when you begin to understand self, Brother Branham says, the greatest enemy is who? He says, William Branham. My greatest enemy is Louis. He wants, you see, there is a world of, I have two worlds in me, if you didn't know. I live in two worlds. You see, but I don't understand you. This is the world of the visible. And on the inside is the world of the invisible. I've got a choice which world I choose to live in. This world or the world of the Zoe world, the Zoe class. The Zoe class is not about the self. Oh yeah, this guy. He wants the best. This is a visible world. This is your greatest enemy. This guy would want to be spoken well of, spoken good to. This, that. You got to learn about self. And lots of times, we do not understand. The devil can use self to a point and you will never even know it. Lots of times, we're looking for the devil to come with horns and bushy tail. No. He's here. He's operating here in your very thinking. He's using the fourth dimension to infiltrate self, so that you unconsciously are getting reprogrammed. You see, you have been reprogrammed. You've been programmed before you were born. You see, I don't understand you. You see, those two little girls going out, both of them are going to eat a sandwich. One of them is going to grab the other one's sandwich and eat. Okay, she stared at me. But you say, but why would they do that? The programming that came at birth came from mother, father, grandfather, including me. We were programmed before. That's why the Bible says you must be born again. Because the programming went off. You say, but why? The self came in with the serpent genetics. I want to be lifted. You think Apple came up with the first iPhone? No. Lucifer was the first one. I want to draw. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do that. I, self. Always about self, 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 self. If you don't see self, it's because grace has never come to you. You've got to learn to understand self. Brothers, I hate to tell you this, but I have to tell you. When was the time that you ever gave your wife a thank you for what she does for you? I took her for a meal and said to her, honey, why don't you sit down and let me serve you? Oh, no, but if she doesn't cook your meals, you know? You see, women have the gift of multitasking. Did you know that? They can cook. They can be on the phone. Okay? They can see to the children. They can put the washing machine on. They can put something in the oven, and the brother can't even iron his pants. I see some wives are looking at the husbands. But when was the time you sat down, brother, and said to your wife, thank you. Thank you for the children you gave me. Thank you for the meals you cook. Thank you. Why don't you go to bed and rest? Brother, when last did you do that to your wife? Because it's all about self. It's all about self. You see, but brother, I thought you were talking about God's desire. You really see just now how this will build up. Because lots of times we do not understand that when the Bible speaks of the brazen laver was placed in the tabernacle. Okay, the tabernacle had three courts. So when the sinner came in, the brazen laver had water. It had a reflection, the sea of glass. He could see himself. You see, it's so easy to see other people's faults. We are so quick on other people's faults. We've got to see ourselves first. We've got to see ourselves first. So, the brazen laver has three meanings. It reflects whether you are standing in the times of tribulation or time of grace. It also has the meaning of priesthood, a place for a person to come and wash and prepare themselves before service. And it's also a reflection of a sinner. That's why you go there and wash. So when you come to the tabernacle, I want you to change. When you come to the tabernacle, I want you to, every time the word is being preached, is to look at the word and see yourself through the word and forget about everybody else. Forget about changing somebody. Lord, the minister said, I must become a better version of myself. I said to you, there are so many things, the way I've carried my life in the early days, I wish the Lord taught me these things. But you see, I am under construction every day. Because I want to have a better version of myself. I've got to kill this self that has come in my birth. So that I can become a reflection of him. Sometimes you have to give up things that you love so much that you want to do. And you want to accelerate yourself in a particular zone, in your career, in your finances, in your business world, in your educational world. But then you realize it can't reflect him. You have to make those choices. Those hard choices you'll have to make. So the revelation of self, if you got the revelation of this great mystery, it will not only empower you to change, it will enlighten you. Once you understand yourself and how it stands in the way of service, it will enlighten you. That enlightenment without revelation of self will become a most dangerous thing to you, because it will bring about some measure of pride. With pride, there's contention, there's arguments, there's division. You see, lots of times, you don't have a revelation of yourself. You think because you don't drink, you don't smoke, you're not immoral, you got a good life, you got good money, you got everything, so you can become arrogant. You can become proud. It can bring divisions. It can bring separations. It'll polarize you from right and wrong. You'll begin to, as I said, you'll see people in a different way. You see, because lots of times we judge what's right and what's wrong. And lots of times we don't understand. Self lives by right and wrong. Self lives by right and wrong. You know, I say this and I'll say this all the time. Lots of families in this church, lots of pastors outside in the fivefold ministry have the same problem, is that congregation members want a minister to understand when their son makes a failure, understands when their wife makes a mistake, understand when they make a mistake. And they want the pastor to show grace. But when somebody else in the church makes a mistake, they want the book thrown at them. Why? It's because we look at the situation through right and wrong. You see, if you live by good, what's good and what's wrong, then you don't know what self is. You see, but brother, I can't understand where you're going. Just follow me, you'll learn. Because I know I take long to build up. Especially when I start a new seeder, I take very long to build up. But I'm trying to program you about self. I'm trying to tell you. Do you think that Cain wanted to be a bad guy? Do you think Pharaoh really wanted to be who he is? You think all the people that are not with us today, who left the church, went back, gone into the world, wanted to do that? Then you really don't know a lot about God. You see, this world of self is dangerous. If you're living in this world of self, it's very, very dangerous. Because once you become enlightened, now you begin to see things differently. Now you begin to start seeing things how God wants you to see it. You know, you don't want to force your ideas upon people. Then you don't want to force your wife to change. You don't want to force the people in the church to change. You don't want to force your neighbor to change. You say, but why? Because you're beginning to understand self. You're becoming enlightened. You see, self came into this world after the fall. Your father was selfish. Your mother was selfish. Your grandfather was selfish. So you were born in a world of self. Nobody taught them any better. Nobody has. You see, that's why we build up conclusions in life about anything, because that's how dangerous self is. We have racial polarizations in us. We look at people, whether they are blacks, whites, colored, green, Indians, We treat them that way is because of self. There is no black, white, colored Indian in the sight of God. I ask you this, what language do you think you're going to speak on that side? German? It's a new language. It's a Zoe class. It's a Zoe family. It's a Zoe language. Completely different. So the choices you make in life, be guarded. Is it about self? Is it for selfish reasons I'm making this choice? Because there are lots of people that self exist, that live for themselves. Watch a man that gives everything he has to a particular venture, business, or his career. Watch a woman who spends all her life in a career and see how she destroys herself so quickly. Because she's not there for a husband or children, a God. She's not there for a family. A businessman, 24 hours in a day making money. You see, but Brother Louis, where are you going? Because God was self-existing, brothers and sisters. God was self-existing. He lived by himself. You must ask yourself, why did he not live like that forever? Why? Because doesn't Brother Brian say Elohim means self-existing? He was alone. That's where we're pulling it from. We're pulling it from there and we're going to bring it down. I want to show you. And I'm watching the time as well. What time, brother? Will Abdul be here? Oh, he said 4 o'clock. Okay. That's good enough to have 4 o'clock. Okay, let's go on. You know, many a times we don't realize that this world is selfish. The world of self says, take care of I. People always say, I've got to take care of myself. I'm important first. But they can't see the road ahead. Brother Brown says, eternal life is living for others. Others can be anybody, anybody who has a need. It even does not matter what section of the book they are in, as long as they have a need. You know, as long as they have a need. Let's go on. I need to try and get myself to a point. All right. So when you're looking at people's needs, you've got to look at it irrespective of race, color, gender. It doesn't matter as long as they have a need. That's eternal life. And it's the only way, brothers and sisters, for you to live is for the needs, living for others, living specifically. You say, but why? Because it's going to bring God glory. It's going to bring God glory. All right. So we judge, even in the world of self, we judge people of self. Who's good and who's evil? Who's religious? I asked you about Cain and Pharaoh. People that are not here, what are your thoughts about them? Is it from the good? Is it from the wrong? Is it from self? Or is it how Christ looks at them? How do you look at them? How do you measure people who has a higher value? You see, self is about I have a higher value of myself. That's why they came to Jesus and they said to Jesus, one of the mothers says, please, the son of Zebedee said, please, I want my sons to sit on the throne with you. And he said, can they drink of the same cup? Sometimes we think of a higher race, higher color, higher values. The car you drive, the area that you live in, the clothes you wear, your education. Oh, because, you know, you can't, you know, they can't associate with us. They're class one people. No, really? No, we'd rather be amongst graduates. And some parents sometimes cultivate this in the children. Fathers will tell the girl, no, you must marry him. He's got a nice car. Oh, he looks so nice. But the father doesn't even know whether he's Zoe class or not Zoe class. So he's basing it on self. So many parents have destroyed the children's lives by advising them incorrectly about marriage. Because marriage is very fair. Well, he lives in a nice big house. Or, you know, you must marry him because he's a doctor. Selfish reasons. It's all about character. It's all about character. Is what you should be looking for. Somebody that could share in your life so you can serve God, share in this ministry, believe what you believe. I'm going to skip some slides, okay? Because there's a lot of things we'll come in just now. Now, Elohim, the self-existing God, he was self-sustaining. He didn't need anything outside from the outside world. You see, Elohim did not need anything. Listen to me. Elohim did not need anybody as well. He didn't need anybody else. But God needed. Elohim did not need, but God needed. Big difference. Elohim could live by himself. You're self-existing. You could be alone with his thoughts. Are you with me? Because he didn't need anything around him to keep him going. He was self-sustaining. But you see, because God by substance is love, God by substance cares, God by substance and his nature, he could not be alone. He could not live by himself. So therefore, the very idea of God having these qualities and abilities was because he was not able to express himself. Okay? If he was existing by himself, he could not express love. He could not express, like a wife. You see, sister, you can bake, you can cook, you can do things that God gave you. But can you imagine if you were alone and you baked 12 dozen of muffins and you've ate it by yourself? You not only look like a muffin, but you will get fed up. Are you with me? He gave you the ability to cook, to clean, to iron. But you don't. See, you look at it. Lots of women look at it as a bother. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I like to have to iron. Oh. But you don't understand. It's a form of expression. All right, let's go on. We want to break this down. So, he was alone as Elohim. He occupying that area by himself. And there's a difference between existing and living. I told you this before when I introduced this. Many people exist even in their marriage. You say, I don't understand you, Brother Louis. They don't have the quality of time as husband and wife. They exist on paper. They just married. There's no partnership. There's no partnership. There's no companionship. There's no friendship. The warmth is not there. They just exist. She cooked the food. He sits. He eats. He goes to bed. Okay? He wakes up in the morning. He dresses up. He goes to work. He comes home. He sits. He eats. He goes to bed. Sounds familiar? If it does, be careful. Living means he can share these qualities and abilities to creatures, and he's going to create with the idea to give him the ability to exercise the fullness of what he is. A husband's got to understand why he's married. You might tell me, but you don't understand, Brother Louis. I've been through this, I've been through that. That's your test. You've got to go through your test. Your relationship with your wife, your walk and your journey with your wife should be one of not only husband and wife, but your companion and your friend. Your companion and your friend. Take a break. Get away. Spend some time together so that you don't just exist. Sometimes you'd find the wife is so hectic in the kitchen, the baby, this, that, and everything, that husbands forget that she just gets lost. And by the time you look at her, she's got no teeth and she's gray. And men are very selfish by nature. Men are very selfish by nature. You see, Elohim did not need anything. He didn't even need anyone. He was all self-sufficient. But I want you to understand, God had a desire, but he had no one to express it to. Your children, excuse me, I'm going to watch my voice. Your children are your classroom. They are your congregation. So that you can become a priesthood to them. You see, but you know, you don't understand, you know, they drive me crazy. Yeah, they might drive you crazy. Do you know how many people in this church drive me crazy? But I don't show it. Priesthood. In your own home, Father, he makes a mistake. That's your congregation. Are you just ranting and raving about it? How many times does it? On and on and on. Poor child doesn't know. They just don't know what to do. But you're not understanding that you entered into marriage. You entered into marriage because you did not want to exist by yourself. You decided to have children because you wanted to have a family. It's because it's all about an expression about God. But you don't understand it. God had a desire. Did you know you can't force your wife to love you? That's why you find you can't go to somebody and say, look, I want you to marry me. If their heart is not with you, all the presents in the world, you can even buy them the best diamond ring, it's not going to help. You see, but I don't understand you. You see, God cannot force man to worship him. Neither can God force you to love him. I want you to follow me because I'm going to pick this thing up and so you don't lose me. God can't force you to love him. God can't force you to worship him. Like in a marriage, it's got to be a synergy. Sometimes a little bit on marriage. You could have walked away from each other unconsciously because of things. Maybe you failed as a husband, you got busy, you neglected your wife and she failed you, and or she was busy and he failed you. It's fine, just work it out. Just work these things out, because life is too short on this earth. Because one of the days you're going to understand that you never really understood what self is. You never understood what self is. You see, but you see, when a wife and a husband begins to understand, how can I not be faithful to my husband? How can I not attend to his needs after all that he's doing for me? You know, when that hits them home, it's more than your marriage on paper. It's more than your marriage on paper. You're not existing. Elohim was self-existing, but he could not express himself. You see, when your child makes a mistake, when your child makes a mistake, it's a way for you to express priesthood, patience, tolerance. You know, showing them how to do this and how to do that, becoming tolerant to them. Oh, but you know, Brother Louis, I don't want. Yeah, you can only protect your children to a point. I try that with my own children, and I'm beginning to learn that even though I teach them so that I do not want them to repeat mistakes and save them time, I realize that they have to pay their own university fees. I paid my own university fees. You say, where? It's called life. And that's the way you learn. You learn by your mistakes. You learn by your mistakes. But a wise man learns by other people's mistakes. So God cannot dictate to you to love him. He will not force you to worship him. And that's why he gave you what we call free will. See, the Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. We read that. It's a commandment. But that should be produced by faith and not by law. Have you noticed in our church that we allow you to serve the Lord? We expose you to all the information. It's on internet and whatever it is. We make the recordings available for you and so forth. But I want you to understand this. I can give you all the studies in the world, but if he does not give you that desire to understand, it's out of my power. So he gave you free will, the choice, and you're going to read some things, just you're going to learn some things now. He gave you that free will. He said, but why did God give me that free will? Somebody asked that question once. About free will. Why did God allow free will? He allowed free will so that he will not be alone. He allowed free will so that he will not be alone. You know, sometimes in life you want to force your life, your thoughts on your wife. You know, I say this to you all the time. I say this to lots of people, husbands as well, and wives as well. Sometimes, even your children, you want to keep your children and you want to make sure they become the image of you. And that's what the first generation did. They made sure the children came to church. They forced them to listen to the tapes. They forced them to dress according to the message. The first thing, they must do this, they must do it. And the children hated this religion. They hated this gospel. And today they do not want to be identified with this message. Because thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, was given to them as a law. You know, but it was not given to them to live by faith. You say, I don't understand you. In a marriage, if you force yourself into marriage, if you threaten somebody, you better marry me or I'll kill you. I mean, that's the truth. This has happened. Father will tell the girl, if you don't marry him, I'll shoot you. Because he's got all the money. I need the money. So she gets into this marriage. She gets married out of fear. She gets married and she's in bondage. Now it's no longer love. She's now serving under fear. She's now under law. So that marriage is not a marriage anymore. And so she's existing in that marriage, and that marriage was based on a selfish reason. If your marriage is based on a selfish reason of what you can get out of your marriage, is going to fail. It's going to fail. Marriage cannot be based for selfish reasons about you. You see, to love God is to love every attribute of God which is in His creation. And so you will not hate anything. God could not force you to love Him. And you're going to see. So you say, but Brother Louis, how did He make this happen? He made this possible by self-will. He allowed self-will to be introduced in this world so that this entire program can come into play. His entire program can come into play. God's real purpose of creating creation was to satisfy Himself, to satisfy His needs. You see, you say, but I've got a need. I need God because I've got this need. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. He programmed the needs. He programmed the circumstances so that you will need Him because He controls everything. Remember I said to you about going to Port Shepston. I'm programmed to go to Port Shepston. Okay? I made a detour. When possible, you make a U-turn. So, your life, everything that you are going through was because He can be turned to as a source. You can turn to Him. You might say, but Brother Louis, I've got this wife of mine. She doesn't, this, that. No, 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 no. That was programmed by God. That circumstances was programmed by God. Why? Because He never wanted to be alone. You say, but I just don't understand. What do you mean by He never wanted to be alone? Can you switch to this board here? Is it possible? Okay. So God is invisible. Okay. Oh, that's quite clear today. He is omnipotent. Okay. He is all knowing. Are you with me? He's omnipotent. He's all knowing. A few other qualities. Now, what good is that if He is all-powerful, but He can't show His power to anybody? I mean, what good is a king? Somebody's a king. And you ask them, so, you got a big kingdom? How many people do you have? So, no, nobody. What king are you then? You know? So, God says, look, I want to show My power. So, now, here's the comforting part for you to remember. Before you could come, you've been programmed. You've been programmed. These needs have been programmed in you. So you'll see it. If I don't pick up today, I will pick it up as time goes on. Okay? He's all-knowing. What good is if he's all-knowing if nobody comes to him to say, listen, God, can you help me with this problem? What good is it? He needed people so that when they are in trouble, now you might say, Brother Louis, I am so sickly. You are not sickly because you are sickly. Mm-mm. You are not sickly because you are sickly. You are sickly because he programmed that you become sick so that you turn to him for help. Do I make sense? You are going to this problem right now in your very life. It's not because you are going through this problem. No. It's been programmed so that you will turn to him. Troubles, evil, weaknesses, and all this. He allows sicknesses. God's in control. You say, God's in control. How come the serpent got control? Do you really think the serpent had control? Do you think the God of this world is in control? You really think your boss is in control of you? Did you ever think that? Do you really think that the people that you associate with at workplace, are they in charge of you? Do you really think that? Everybody that entered your life, if you are the elected of God, was part of God's programming. It was all part of God's programming. Because the Bible says, everything works for good to them that love the Lord. Everything. You say, but Brother Louis, are you telling? Yes. No matter what you think of, you could have made the worst mistake in your life. Part of programming, part of your life. You see, but I don't. How many of you, please put your hands up, how many of you, before you were born, said to your mother and father, please give me free will? Anybody here? No. Free will was given to you without consent for you to make choices. Man, now, please tell me, do you think that the woman said, no, I'm not going to have a child from Adam first, I'm going to have a child from the serpent? You think? No. Because if God could stop Abimelech from touching Sarah, why didn't God go to the serpent and say, if you touch Adam's wife, you dead meat? God could have done that. Do you agree? Why didn't God do that? Do you think God forgot? God needed the serpent to do that. So, free will was God's way. It was God's way so that he can express himself. It was God's way of self-expression. He said, listen, I need to express myself. I am absolutely lonely. People don't understand, brothers and sisters, that loneliness aids you. If you are alone at home and you're sitting by your room by yourself all the time and say, you know, I'm getting old, I'm waiting to die, you know, when I'm going to die, you'll age more faster. Start associating with people. Get into some kind of activity. Get into a sport. You say, but I'm old. No, you're never old. There are people 100, 199 older than you doing things. You see, but why? Because you're going to learn today that loneliness is dangerous. You learn today that loneliness is dangerous. God needed a way to express himself because he wanted to be a savior. He wanted to be a healer. He wanted to be a deliverer. He could have stopped the serpent and said, He could have told the serpent, listen, you can't enter the garden, that's it. He jumped over the wall. He got into Eden, which was part of the garden of God. He never stopped the woman. Why? Because he needed them to go into sin. He could not bring sin. You see, but why? It's because he wanted to have classes of people by high breeding. High breeding means where the animal kingdom and the human kingdom becomes one. And that's why you find today that all the diseases that we are having on this world, foot and mouth disease, animal kingdom, Zika virus, animal kingdom, bubonic plague, animal kingdom. It's coming back to the serpent again. But why did God allow free will? Because that was the entrance, the gateway. So that he will not be alone. You say, but why? It's because he wanted to have a different classes of people. He wanted to have different species. He needed the elect. He needed the serpent. He needed the human class. That's what he needed. And that's why he's allowed free will. And that's why you're going to learn about yourself. Understand yourself. Get in an enlightenment. Get to know your temperament. Get to know your blood type. Get to know your blood type. Say, well, why, Brother Louis? Even blood type. I'm giving you some cues. I don't have the time. Get to know your blood type. Get to know the star you're born under, the age you're born under. Not 44, 40, the age. Whether it's a Cancer age, Capricorn, whether you're Aquarius age, the star you're born. Get to know your mother and father's strength and weaknesses. Take a book. Every one of you, go home, take a book. Spend time. Okay, my mother was A, my mother, father was Z. My mother's strength was this, my father's weaknesses were this is the strength, this is the weaknesses. I can imagine that what my children are going to do to me, they're going to finish me. All my weaknesses, okay? Thinking now. Okay, my grandfather, go back, great grandfather, look at it. And then you will be surprised at what you're going to learn about yourself. Now you become aware. You become aware. You become a better version. Now you've got the message now trying to teach you this. Says, wow, I definitely need to be born again. But I thank God I'm born again now. Now I need to start learning from this word. Your temperament, what temperament you are. Find out what temperament your wife is, your husband is, your child, your daughter, your son-in-law, your daughter-in-law, brothers and sisters in the church. I will send it to you. I'll do a small clip, not a clip. I'll send it to you also. You can go and it's too detailed. It's on the website. But God needed the woman to partake of that. So that why? He can have classes of people. Everything is in control, brothers and sisters. Without serpent seed, he could never prove his love for you. Without serpent seed, he couldn't prove his love. He had this desire. How do I show my love? And sometimes you have problems in your marriage, you have problems with your children. It's a way, it's a gateway for you to show them compassion, show them what it is to have godly forgiveness. godly tolerance. You see, the proof of God's love is elective. You see, if we all were from God, how could he choose? You see, that's why he needs those classes of people. Serpent class, human class. You see, prior to this message, prior to the Bible becoming a new book, we've had it all wrong. We thought that we need God. No, no, God needed us. You see, but I have this need. No, that need was programmed in you so that you can turn to him. Maybe you got a bad temper. Maybe you're fighting with your flesh. It was programmed. That's why don't run down people that have got habits, drug addicts and alcohol and all these things, immoral living. Don't do that. Yes, we used to do that because we were not taught right. It's part of the programming. So that they could turn to God. They could turn to this word. You see, because you don't need anything. God needs you. And that's a frightening part because all the time people were taught, you know what, you need God. You say, but Brother Louis, I don't understand. Let's say you're looking to buy something, whatever it is. You turn to him. What happens now? You worship him. You magnify. So, Father, I thank you. I've got this need. I'm looking for a good doctor. Can you help me, Lord? Guide me. What is it? You are giving him glory. But if he was alone, there's nobody going to say thank you. Do you know that God doesn't have thanksgivings? Did you know that? God doesn't have thanksgivings. Who is he going to thank? Who is God going to thank? Nobody. Why are we having a Thanksgiving today? Because Brother Isaac and the family want to thank the Lord for what they've done in sister's life. You see, when in the Old Testament, when they had a Thanksgiving, God never came down and ate the sacrifice. No. They offered it to Jehovah God. They ate this and said, Jehovah, we are eating this as a thanks offering of what you have done. Excuse me. He needs you to be hungry so that he can show he can supply your need. Because he wants to prove he's a provider. You know, sometimes your child comes to you and say, Daddy, I want you to buy me this. What you say? Did your money come from the tree? He's looking to you as a provider. You are dashing his hopes. Maybe you can tell him in a nicer way. Oh, if you do well in your exams, this, that, you'll walk towards that. Because your child looks at you like even a husband. When a husband says, honey, oh, I'm looking for this. You think I'm your mother? No, sister. He has given you an opportunity to reflect God. When he tells you, my back is so sore. Can you massage? Oh, you think I'm your physiotherapist? He's looking at you, sister. Do you know that? Oh, I need to say it nicely because I can get into trouble. The needs of a husband. You know, husbands have wives so that the wife is there to take stresses away. I know bruises say, oh, Father, Pastor, you don't even know. That's the problem in the marriage. You see, wives don't understand why they are there. They were supposed to be armor bearers for the husbands. is to protect the husband. Take away the stresses of life. I'm taking too long, Father, to build this thing up. I need to go to a point. All right. The self-existing God dwelt alone, and he lived in absolute eternity. Okay? And we know that he was infinite. I spoke about all this. And he had all these qualities, but if there was nobody there, who is going to need him? Who is going to need him? Nobody. So that's why when you have a need in your family, your husband comes to you, you do it unto the Lord, sister. You know the reason why many troubles come in your marriage? If you are having trouble in your marriage, I want you to pull yourself away from the situation. Right now, in your mind, you pull it away from you. And don't think about you, how it affects you. Don't think about that. All your partner is asking for is to give them attention. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. The reason why wives and husbands are fighting, the reason why marriages break down, like a wife will get into an affair with another man, or a woman, man gets an affair with another woman, it's because they want to be felt. They have a need. And if wives do not make their husbands felt needed, they run the risk of putting the marriage into trouble. And it's the same thing with the husband. If the husband does not make the wife feel that she is needed, you can provide everything you want for her. But if she does not feel needed, you run the risk in your marriage. It's very important, because it's all based on Christ as a mystery. You enter into marriage because you have a need. You have a need to be loved. You have a need because you want to express yourself. You want to express yourself because you either you're a man or a woman. That's why you enter into marriage. But marriage also is a way to say, I am in need. I need a partner. I need somebody to hold me. I need somebody to say that I'm beautiful. I need somebody to say that, you know what? I've never had food like this before. This is all part of what God wanted. But we get so caught up in life about money and career and so forth, we have forgotten. We have forgotten. You see, living is to put these qualities to work, to use them for the needs of others. That's what living is. Whatever qualities you have, you want to put it to use for others. As a father, as a mother. God was self-existing. His qualities, he wanted to put it into use now. But he can't put it if there's nobody there. So lots of times we blame our spouses, we blame our children for the stresses, because you are expecting a perfect family. I told you the trouble is you. You. Because God, from self-existing, he came down to living. He was self-existing. He comes down to a living God. Do I make sense? You see, sister, when you get up in the morning, you're doing it unto the Lord the way you look after your husband. Same thing, brothers. You're doing it unto the Lord. You say, oh, but you don't know. He forgets And not forget, he overlooks your faults and your failures. So don't tell me about faults and failures. You see, if you exist, you take up resources, you take up space. If you exist, it's all about you. You want to survive, you want to preserve yourself. Because you can't coexist with somebody else if you're self-existing. You can't do that. Because you want to maintain your status. You find that when you enter into partnership, you're giving up self-existence now. It's no longer self-preservation. This is now you're going to give out your qualities to somebody else or show your qualities to somebody else. Because self-existence is all about how can I protect myself. It's all about me, what I can get out of it. How can you see, I always say to people, don't say it goes like this. Love people and use things. Don't use people and love things. Love people and use things. Don't use people and love things. Don't look at people as your opportunity or your gateway to this world. It's dangerous. It's very dangerous. When you look at people that you can use, whereas you should love them and use things. Lots of times people use people and love things. You should be loving people and using things. Do I make sense? Because if you're self-existing, you're always needy. Watch people that live alone, that are selfish, that live by themselves. They're always in need. They're always in need. And it could be very gripey if you're alone. That's why you find that our single parents must be very careful. If you feel there's a reason for you to get married, get married. As long as you know you can speak to your minister. Don't worry about what people say. No. Because lots of times we want to base our decisions on what others think about us. In the end, you suffer. See, living causes you to be needed, not needy. If you are living, it causes you to be needed, not needy. But when you're self-existing, you are needy. You need friends, you need people. You see, lots of times you don't realize that when you get into marriage, sounds like a wedding already, eh? When you get into marriage, you have to share your space, you have to share your bed, you have to share your pillow. I was talking to somebody, I said, my wife came with an X amount, she shares everything now, 50% of everything. Half of my pillow, half of my bed, half of my bread, half of my milk. Half of my children, not half of my children, 50%. My point I'm trying to get at is that when you are self-existing, you occupy all the space. But when you are living for others, now you share. Do you follow me? Now you begin to share. But if you violate those principles, what I'm telling you, it's all about, then you must know that you're living by yourself. See, if you got finance, if you got funds and whatever it is, you have to share your finances. You know why marriages are in ruins in lots of places? Because people refuse to give up their independence. It's my account and my money, my job, my car, my house, my clothing, my children. It's all about self. That's why marriages are in ruin. But I want to tell you something else, and I hope it doesn't discourage the couple. When you plan to get married, it ruins your self-existence. It ruins your self-existence. Meaning, now you have to give up the bed that you slept alone. Now you have to give up the time that you had alone. Now Theo has to tell his wife where he is. When he was not married, didn't have to. You know that call, brothers? Where are you? You know how irritating that call can be? Where are you? Like when they phone me, where are you going? I said, no, what do you need? I said, you don't ask me where you're going. That's including that one outside there, my daughter. I said, why do you ask me where I'm going? I'm a minister. I can't tell you where I'm going. Because, you know, I attend to things. I don't just wait. Tell me, what do you need? And I'll tell you where I'm, if I'm, it's on my way. But when you get into marriage, now you share your money. You share your lifestyle. You can't, there's no secrecy in marriage. I was supposed to be in Zambia tomorrow. I can't go because of the wedding. But I told her, look, supposed to be in Zambia, not going, cancelled. Okay, well, whatever it is, too close to the wedding. You can't, like, marriage, you can't keep things back. Because now you are living. Because when you're living, you share space. You have to share one another's things. Okay? You share your house, you share your residence. It's all together. You see, but why? Because God was self-existing. He says, now I want to share myself with the people. I'm going to give them a part of myself, which is Zoe. So when you want your life to work out, you can't be selfish. Lots of people, you are in trouble because it's all about you. Get home today and get it fixed. Put it right. Because if you're not willing to share with them, excuse me, if you're not willing to share your life with them, then you're not willing to live with them. That's what it's all about. That's why your marriages, families are in trouble. Because we do not know. We want, you know, Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. Living shares, living causes you to be needed. Living shares its space. Living brings healing to loneliness. Excuse me, I'm so sorry. Emptiness and depression. That's what living does. You know, lots of times you have problems and she wants to go into her bed and you're sleeping on the floor. You know, sometimes you think, hey, brother, you think I'm sleeping on the floor? In fact, she's on the floor and I'm on the bed. But how is it that night? Don't you find it lonely? Don't you find it blood pressure going up, sugar is up? You just can't sleep. Pillow is hard, because that's what loneliness causes. It brings depression. It brings roots in you. That because you're not willing to share, that's why you're going through that. I want you to understand what I'm saying, brothers and sisters, that this great self-existing God realized, I can't live by myself. I have a desire. And the only way I can feel good is to give myself. And I want you today to do the same, is to give yourself for others. Don't think about what you can get. I'm not talking like businessmen. Don't say, no, I can take it for nothing. You're in business, that's different. That's completely different. Living shares its space. It shares its heart, its resources, its peace and rest. Sometimes you want to lie in your bed and or not get disturbed. And the children run into you. Fortunately, they don't come into my room because they're grown up. They run into your bed. Mommy, 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 mommy. So, oh, I can't even sleep. I'm so tired. That's what living does. Sometimes, brother, you are tired and you have had a bad day and you want everybody to be quiet. It's just, honey, it's mom's birthday today. Can we go and see her? And you're thinking, oh, I just came home to rest. And this woman never stops. No, living means to give up your time, give up your space, give up your finances, and you need to contribute to others. It will make you feel good. So if you want peace, if you want rest, if you want to really enjoy life, I want you to know he came into your life to ruin your rest, to ruin whatever you felt on your own. You say, well, brother, it is so bad. No, it's a joy when you share. It's a joy when you share your moments with her, share your moments with him. Share the quiet times. Give up that lonely period. You will find, you say, why? You're going to reflect this great God. When your child comes to interrupt you and take away from your quiet time, it's your way of expressing now. It's your opportunity. Never look at it as an interference. Look at it as an opportunity. You see, living ruins existence. Living makes room to share its life with others. Living produces long-lasting, intimate relationships. Whereas self-existing destroys you. I don't care what you are going through. Don't stop self-existing. Stop being alone. You will make a mess of yourself in the years to come. Who's your best friend? Check your friends. How many friends you have? Because you need friends. You need fellowship around believers. Because if you can't answer that and you've got very few friends, it means you're self-existing. You need to start living for others. Give up so that others can benefit from you. A tree never eats its own fruit. A tree never eats its own fruit. Living lets others and their needs in. You're never selfish. You never think about a mother. She can be so sick, she'll think about her child. Now you think that's a mother? No, that's God she's reflecting. God will never forget the one that came from his thinking. That is why the mother is doing that. You know, I spoke about the word rechem. The one comes from your own womb, compassion. She, no matter how sick she says, no, don't worry. Don't worry. I know it in my house. I see it. I tell her, hey, buddy, big man, they can take care of themselves. You shouldn't worry about me. She said, no, that's my child. Mother is displaying the qualities unconsciously. She does not know that. She does not know it. That she's reflecting God who wants to live. You see, brothers and sisters, if you don't follow this principle, this is what's going to happen. The causes and reasons for loneliness, anxiety, and depression is self-existence. That's why. That's what it's all about. You see, you can live alone, you can work alone, but you're going to have the fruits of depression and loneliness as you get older in life. Because loneliness is going to lead to bitterness, and bitterness is going to lead to emptiness. What happens to the people like that? They self-destruct. Suicide habits. You know, do something. Even if you're old, even if you're retired, do something. Get involved. Do something. Because if the most dangerous thing is to self-exist. Take your wife, walk around the place. You know, go and smell the flowers and the bees. Talk to the neighbors. Don't exist by yourself. So you can, once you begin to understand this principle, because I'm only laying the foundation, brothers and sisters, you're going to realize that God's in control. You see, I told you, He gave you free will. You have been born with free will, and I want to close with this. Even though He gave you free will, He has controlled every situation in your life. So don't tell me, but you don't understand what I'm going through. I am telling you, God already knows. I pray that God will bless you. Okay, God will undertake for you in a special way. Do remember us in your prayers, as we would pray for you as well. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this time of fellowship. Amidst all the technical problems we've had, thank you. You saw us through the service. We pray, oh God, that you just undertake for each one of us. Bless the families of God. Bless the thanksgiving. Bless the meals that have been provided. Sanctify to our bodies, the bodies of service. Thank you for Brother Isaac. May you bless our dear sister Jerusha. Lord, every birthday is a new beginning. And may, Lord, an end become better than the beginning. Lord, that you look back and see how blessed she is and how you brought her into this light. Lord, and how you've blessed her with children, a family, undertake for her. We appreciate the faithfulness as well. We appreciate, oh God, that you've placed our dear brother Isaac as one of the deacons, and one of the pillars in the church. We bless his hands and prosper his ways and bless the families of God even as we would continue now. We ask this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. God bless you, Brother Terence.